listening to Headlamp, a podcast for readers. You're listening to Headlamp, a podcast for readers, comma, writers, Oxford, comma, and runners. I'm your host, Sean Patrick. Alrighty, let's get this going. First off, before I begin, let me offer some words of advice to anyone who's thinking about getting into podcasting. Use a newer-ish laptop. My laptop I bought for $300 about 3 years ago, so it's amazing that this is even going out after all of the crashes and fails and everything like that. So invest a little bit of, not a lot, but a little bit of money into some decent equipment. And also have the podcasts ready to go before you talk about the podcast. It is a little embarrassing that it's been 3 weeks since episode 000, but here we are. It is May 21st, 2015. 21 May, 2015. I'm going to do a couple shout-outs first. Want to thank Build and Launch's Justin Jackson. You can find him on Twitter at MIJustin. He was a big inspiration in actually getting off my duff and doing a podcast. So thank you, Justin. I'm actually using the microphone that you recommended, and it's editing on Audacity, which, if I had a better laptop, would probably be not as much trouble as I've had. Also want to thank Mike Luoma, who you can hear online and throughout Vermont on The Point Radio Network. He also is the host of the excellent science fiction and fantasy Glow in the Dark podcast. Build and Launch and Glow in the Dark will be listed in the show notes. You can also find Mike on Twitter at Mike Luoma, that L-U-O-M-A. Thanks for the help, Mike. Little backstory. I have terrible social anxiety, especially when it comes to reading in front of people. And Mike was one of the other authors at the only time I've publicly read my short fiction. That was arranged by Geek Mountain State, so thank you. Thanks, Mike. Also, last but not least, obviously, why is this called Headlamp? I didn't really explain that in episode 000, but I struggled trying to figure out what exactly to call this thing. I had a bunch of terrible ideas that I might share sometime. One of them was R3, reading, writing, and running. That's just bad. But one night I was putting the kids to bed and I discovered my eldest daughter, Lily, had grabbed the headlamp that I use for various reasons around the house, mice in the attic, so on and so forth. And she had taken that headlamp and put it on and she was reading by the light of the headlamp. And it made me think of not only staying up and reading, being passionate about reading, passionate about writing, but also I have not done an ultramarathon. But I am fascinated by ultramarathons, and a big part of ultramarathons is running at night. So a lot of people run by the light of headlamps. So I thought that was kind of a neat combination, and so I went for it. So thank you, Lily, for the inspiration for the name of this podcast. All right, I am excited about a lot of things that I want to talk about. I'm going to try to keep it succinct for episode one. I have done this many times, you know, with all the computer problems and so forth, but I just got back from a run. I ran through the streets of Rutland, Vermont, but Monday and Tuesday of this week, I went on two really good hikes. The first one was Killington. I hiked up into the canyon area, and then I hiked all the way up East Fall. I'll include a map of Killington in the show notes. But East Fall is just tremendously steep for hiking up. And so at the very top, I was looking around and I was thinking maybe I could wind my way up to the Killington Peak, but it was about 7:30 or so and I didn't want to get caught in the dark. So I took Racer's Edge down to Mousetrap and then Bunny Buster and then back to the Base Lodge. And I hung out at the Base Lodge. No one was there. I used my laptop and I tapped into their Wi-Fi and I was Skyping with Amelia and the kids. Amelia is my wife. And then all of a sudden, this security guard walks up. And he was very friendly, but he kind of startled me because they made his security guard outfit very militaristic. And it looked like he was, you know, an actual cop. Apologies to any security guards who may be listening to this. But yeah, he kind of threw me for a loop at first. And he told me that I was not supposed to be there, which probably explains why I was alone at the time. So that was Monday. And then Tuesday, I hiked almost all the way to the top of Pico Mountain. Now, that one was a lot of fun. And I hiked straight up and I got stopped around pole 15 of the Summit Express Quad by two things. One, running out of sunlight again. But two, there was this massive porcupine, and it was really cool. I was taking a little breather, just, you know, looking at the sunset, trying to figure out if I should keep going up to the top or not. It was all swirly with mist and clouds, and the sunset was illuminating everything and just this beautiful burnt orange. And then I looked down, and about 10 feet away from me was this massive quilly porcupine. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get stabbed repeatedly. So I turned around and headed back down. He was a nice porcupine. He didn't bother me. I named him Alfred. So thank you, Alfred. Live long and prosper. Now, here's the interesting thing. When I did these things, I didn't have a GPS or anything like that. I don't have a cell phone. I know this is 2015 and I have a podcast and I have not one but two Twitter accounts, but believe it or not, I do not own a cell phone. So I don't have a cell phone. I don't have a watch or any other kind of GPS system on me. And afterwards, I kind of tracked it a little bit haphazardly on runkeeper.com just to see. And the hilarious thing was the Killington hike, they say it was very, very short, which is absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, the Killington one, it felt a lot higher, a lot more elevation than what Runkeeper said. And then likewise, when I did the Pico one, it said that the elevation I hiked was zero. Like completely, I was walking on a flat, 180 degree flat board for all they knew. So basically, I have no evidence of these activities. You know, I took a few little photos, but they're, you know, potato cam. And I have no real GPS. I have no data from this. All I have is the human experience that I had going up and skiing with my sneakers down this like 50 foot in diameter patch of snow on Killington, and going up and seeing my buddy Alfred the porcupine and seeing the beauty of the sunset and everything like that. I didn't capture this on an iPhone or a Galaxy or anything like that. I didn't get good data on Runkeeper. And I know this seems silly, but a lot of people put so much information online, and I'm totally guilty of that myself. It's hard to distill a human experience, a emotional, physical experience, like going for a beautiful hike or a run, or how I felt the first time I read The House with a Clock on Its Walls after 20 years of totally forgetting about this book and just absolutely loving the world that John Bellairs was able to create in less than 200 pages. You know, I can write a 140 character or less tweet like, oh my God, this is like my childhood distilled or something. I can take a photograph of what I'm experiencing. But when it comes down to it, it almost feels like to me that we spend so much time trying to record. Again, I realize I have a podcast, and so this is a little ridiculous. But we spend so much time trying to record these experiences, we may miss out a little bit on the actual experience itself. So in a way, I got rid of the cell phone for financial reasons. My salary took a dive when I went from aerospace to working in the government. And then after a long period of unemployment, just getting things back to good, it's still not a number one priority for me. I'm going to put in the show notes, I forget what episode it was. I think it was episode 23 of the Spartan Up podcast. Joe DeCinda, the guy who founded Spartan, the Spartan races, he's just a few towns over from where I am right now. And I actually have a friend of mine, Aja, who works for Spartan. It's kind of cool that this all came from the part of Vermont that I grew up in and that I'm now back to working in. But episode whatever, 23 or whatever, of his podcast, he talked about, he interviewed a guy who was talking about how to buy happiness, essentially. And we try to achieve happiness by, in some cases, by buying these material things. And they did a study, and it turns out what gives you the most happiness throughout your life are not the material things, but the experiential things. So instead of buying all the Star Wars movies on DVD in a really nice case and having it on your bookshelf, you go and you do a Spartan race or you do a zombie run or something like that, and you have that experience for the rest of your life. I did a zombie run with my friend Mike Merrigan from the late, great, hopefully going to come back someday, Film Jitsu podcast. He and I did a zombie run in New Hampshire, and I have no idea how much that cost me. I just don't remember, but I remember everything about that experience. It was just an incredible, fun, messy, painful, hilarious experience. And there were some people, I saw at least one person who had a GoPro on them. And again, it's like you can't really capture this moment, how you feel the experience in the video. You can have a souvenir to remind you of that. But when it comes to like the incessant gathering of data of all of our human experiences, I felt when I was doing that, I felt very anxious that I wasn't achieving enough. You know, there's nothing worse than going on Goodreads to update it and say, hey, it's been 2 weeks and I finally finished that book. And then you just see all these other people go, I read this, you know, like a book a day or something like that. And that's wonderful. And if you can do that, that's absolutely wonderful. But I found I'm much more relaxed when I share what I want, but not everything. I'm trying to enjoy the moment, just sitting and reading, just sitting down and writing some fiction or working on, right now I'm working on a nonfiction piece for a website that I hope they will publish. And my first reaction when I get up from reading or get up from writing or get back from going on a run or a hike or something is not necessarily anymore to rush to my laptop or rush to, I still have an iPod that I can do Wi-Fi on. My first reaction is no longer to rush to share. I'm just enjoying the moment, enjoying the human feeling. I'm enjoying the normalcy of reading, writing, and running that was up until seemingly the smartphone, the social media era. And that's not to say that I don't like smartphones and I don't like social media. It just sometimes it feels so overwhelming knowing exactly how many feet of elevation you climbed. And it's always off a little bit. Pico Mountain is not 0 feet high. But yeah, I'm not a Luddite, but I'm a Luddite light in some ways. And again, it's weird because I have 2 Twitter accounts. I'm talking into a microphone recording for a podcast. But in some cases, it's just like, just live that moment. Now, do I miss things about having a cell phone and having all of these options? Absolutely. One thing I totally miss, and the second I get a cell phone again, I will be re-downloading, is this game called Zombies Run. It's from the company Six to Start. First came out in 2012, and that's when I had the cell phone, and I thought it was really cool. My wife told me about it, and so we downloaded it, and it was just incredible. Basically, you have all these episodes that you are runner 5, and I apologize to everyone. There's like almost 1 million people who play this game, so if you're listening to a podcast about running that involves running, you probably have already known this, but for those who don't, hang in there. So you are runner 5 and you basically crash into Able Township, which is a village that's fortified against the zombie horde. And your mission, because you're a runner, is to run out of this safe area and gather supplies to do all these sorts of missions. And what it does is it takes the normal experience of having the GPS and having music, and it chops it up with this zombie apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic story, takes the typical experience of having a runner's mix and GPS, and it chops it up and adds this really cool storyline with these characters that you really get emotionally involved in, or at least my wife and I do. And so, yeah, that's something I miss from the phone. And as soon as I'm financially able to have a phone again, I'm not going to go overboard with all the sharing. You know, I used to take an Instagram on like every single run, that kind of thing. It's a little ridiculous, but I will absolutely get back into Zombies Run. They just released season 3. They also have a Couch to 5K training module. And that is a fantastic way to get some of the data so many people love. But at the same time, it's not just data gathering. It's something more. It's a combination of all of these things that I love and made this podcast about. It's got running, obviously. It's got a storyline, and you're involved in the storyline. Anyway, so that's my little spiel. That's episode 1. I have trimmed it down a lot from where it was originally because of all the laptop problems. But I'm hoping I've put those in the past. I have exercised the demons, and I have a killer episode 2 and 3 that I'm hoping to get out next week. Promise. Scout's honor. And this is the part of the podcast where I plead and I beg. Please, please, please subscribe to this podcast, which will have more than one episode. Subscribe on Podomatic or iTunes. And if you could rate it a 5 or a thumbs up, or even leave a review, that would be fantastic. I would greatly appreciate that. Also, as things cook along, I am planning on begging for sponsors. We'll see if that goes anywhere. Right now, I'm just a guy talking to himself in a room. But in lieu of a sponsor for this week, I would like to promote a really good organization based here in central Vermont, actually at Pico Mountain. They are Vermont Adaptive Ski and Sports. And according to their website, and especially according to everything I've known and seen about them for years and years and years, they are committed to empowering individuals with disabilities. They promote independence and further equality through access and instruction to sports and recreational activities. So they're the people that if you're skiing and you see a blind skier with a guide, chances are, if you're in Vermont, that's Vermont Adaptive Ski and Sport. They also do a lot of really good stuff with injured veterans and people with all kinds of disabilities. You can find out more about them at vermontadaptive.org. And they have 2 really good, really cool, very interesting, and in one case, I'm getting involved this year, finally, fundraisers. They have the Long Trail Century Ride, which is a up to 100-mile bike ride. That's at Killington this year, Saturday, June 27th, 2015. And then the event that I actually just sent out to be a volunteer for is the Vermont 100. It's a running race or a horse race, depending on if you have 2 feet or 4. That is July 18th and 19th. That is something really, really exciting. I'm very excited to volunteer this year, and someday I would love to run it. But I still have a couple pounds to lose and many, many, many miles of running to gain. So check them out and support them. Your donation is tax deductible. And those 2 events that I mentioned are a lot of fun. And it's obviously for an incredible cause. So check them out and get involved. All right, and I think that's it for episode 1. I went on a little bit of a ramble on all sorts of different things, and I hope to have even more rambling for you next week. You can follow me on Twitter, @HeadlampSean, and obviously subscribe, Podomatic, iTunes, all of that. Thank you. Go read something, go write something, go run somewhere. Oh.